savory and spicy taste. Spicy taste mixed with sour taste certainly produce delicious food. In Banyuwangi, the food is usually served when Islamic events being conducted, such as the birth of Prophet Muhammad, Eid al-Fitr, and Eid Adha. But now, Gesang Bangsong can be found at Wit-Witan Market every Sunday. The price of the food is affordable, which is around 20,000 rupiah to 25,000 rupiah per portion. In addition to taste Gesang Bangsong, you can also enjoy other typical culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as rawon alas, sego cawu, as well as traditional snake, such as tiwul and gatot, which is made from cassava. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Purisa Pradela. Thank you for listening.
Indonesia.
Apakah mungkin aku ini sudah gila? Belum bertemu tapi sudah jatuh cinta. Saat tak sengaja melihatmu di sampul majalah yang tak pernah terpikirkan untuk ku baca. Tapi itulah cara cinta bekerja. Tanpa permisi dia datang tiba-tiba. Lalu ku putuskan untuk mencari tahu siapa dirimu. Dan masih mungkinkah aku tercuma memiliki hatimu. Itu juga jadi garis yang kan temani hari-hariku. Dan ku ingin cintanya menjadi sabun di hatiku. Yang ke depan oh selalu menjadi nomor satu. Oh tapi siapakah diriku ini? Yang kata orang tak rupawan begini. Tak bisa asik bergaya dengan segala macam cara yang ada di anak muda masa kini. Tapi apa salahnya punya hayalan? Harapan atau sekedar angan-angan. Lalu ku putuskan untuk mencari tahu siapa dirimu. Dan masih mungkinkah aku
is a unique and typical food from Southeast Sulawesi, specifically in Buton, Muna, and Wakatobi areas. Kasawangi is generally shaped like a tumpeng or cone and is yellowish white. Cassava, which is widely grown in the Sulawesi archipelago, is the main ingredient of kasawangi. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then the grated cassava is put in a sack or pot to be compacted. This compaction is to remove water content by being crushed or pressed using a tool made of wood or large stones. Then leave it for 1 to 3 hours until the water is completely dry. The solid is pure white. Next, the solid is wrapped in thick or banana leaves and tied. The solid is called KGP.
Kagepe.
To make kasuami, initially KGP is kneaded by hand until it looks like flour. Then the ingredients are put into a very unique steaming cone. This tool is made from woven coconut leaves. To steam the KGP, they use a pot made of clay similar to a jar. The cone filled with KGP flour is put into the mouth of the pot. Then it is cooked with medium heat and medium volume of water in a pot for about 15 minutes. One kasuami is generally made with a diameter of 10 cm and a height of 10 cm and weighs approximately 500 to 700 grams. Usually, a person can spend 1 to 2 kasuamis. Kasuami is sometimes served as a substitute for rice because it is often served along with vegetables and side dishes of various processed fish, such as grilled fish, fried fish, and salted fish. Kasuami is the initial food in Buton's traditional events. Interestingly, kasuami is also often used as stocks for treats or souvenirs between fellow Buton residents. Kasuami can be eaten without side dishes, accompanied by a cup of hot tea in the afternoon. The distinctive taste of cassava and the sweet blend of tea will add to this culinary delight.
Kepada yang tercinta.
as Gempol Pleret is one of the legendary Solo culinary delights because there are not many traders selling this culinary anymore. But you don't have to worry if you are already in Solo and want to taste this traditional culinary. Although it is a popular culinary delicacy in Solo, in certain places there are still traders selling this as Gempol Pleret, such as in the Gede Market, Lawayan Market, and in the Manahan Field. Some call as Gempol Pleret is beverage because of its refreshing presentation, but there are also those who call it food because it is filling when enjoyed. The basic ingredients of this typical beverage are rice flour and glutinous rice flour. To make es Gempol Pleret, we have to soak rice flour first. Then it is shaped into small balls like meatballs, and then steamed. Therefore, some people call gempol as rice meatball, because it is round made of rice and its white color. According to the story, gempol comes from the word jempol because it uses the fingers. Pleret is also made from rice flour, which is made into dough and then formed into thin sheets resembling wonton. Afterwards, it is also steamed until cooked. Finally, for presentation, in a medium-sized bowl, the gempol pleret is aided with coconut milk, which is made from thin coconut milk and sugar. You can add shaved ice or ice cubes that are broken into small pieces. As a variation, you can also add pieces of jackfruit or green sticky rice tapi. For one bowl of es gempol pleret, you only need to pay 5,000 rupiah. It is quite affordable, isn't it?
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
That you can tune in to our program in online streaming at voanews.id, shortwave in 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and our application in RRA Digital for those of you love watching on demand.
Hanya kamu satu-satunya yang ada di hati, andai saja kita berdua. bersama selamanya dan kau datang membawakan cinta yang telah lama ku nanti. Oh kasihku, kau membuat cinta
complete without tasting ikan asar galala, the most iconic culinary in Ambon, Maluku. It is called ikan asar galala because it has been known since ancient times that Galala village is a fish hunter. The basic ingredients of ikan asar are generally cakalang fish, yellowtail fish, or mackerel tuna fish, as long as the fish's texture is dense so that it is not brittle when smoked. Ikan asar is a smoked fish. This is smoked differently and uniquely. In general, the fish is smoked horizontally, but ikan asar is placed diagonally on the side of the embers that produce smoke to make the fish completely dry and fully cooked. The cleaning process is quite simple. After cleaning the entrails, the fish is skewered with bamboo and ready to be smoked on the stove. The smoking takes about 4 until 5 hours and is done in a closed room so that the smoke soaks into the meat until it is completely cooked. Ikan asar has an extraordinary taste because the smoked fish is savory and the aroma is so appetizing. Ikan asar is very appropriate to be enjoyed with warm rice and sambal colo-colo, a typical Maluku sauce made from shallots, chilies, basil, and key lime.
Demi
Island is a quite large island and covers an area of 1,500 square kilometers. Phuket Island has many attractive panoramas and natural charms. Tourists who come can find views of a small river that flows calmly to a large river that divides the island. The view of the white sandy beach can spoil and captivate the tourists who visit it. Phuket Island is one of the big islands in Bengkalis Regency, Riau Province. It is even larger than the island of Bengkalis, which is the central of government for Bengkalis Regency. The location of Phuket Island is directly adjacent to two of Indonesia's closest neighbors, namely Singapore and Malaysia. Even the lip of the beach is also directly adjacent to the Malacca Strait. Phuket Island is an actively populated island, so there are no opening and closing hours. The island is open 24 hours. The entrance tickets to Phuket Island vary depending on what tourism attraction you are going to visit. If only to enter Phuket Island, there are no costs besides boat tickets for transportation. As an island that is intended to be a tourism destination, several facilities have been built on this island, such as restaurants and inns. To get to Phuket Island, you have to cross by boat known as Ro-Ro ship or Roll-on Roll-off. The crossing fee is 100,000 rupiah per car and 6,500 rupiah per person. The crossing time is around 30 until 45 minutes. Listener, to attract tourists, the Phuket Beach Festival is usually held in October. This is an annual agenda for Bengkalis Regency. In the festival, there are a number of competitions that are participated in by the local community, such as parade of ornamental canoes, kites, pillow fights, beheading boat races, and many more.
dan saya di lautan pada milenium.
Those who were victorious at the sea is the first millennium were the Indonesian people, the Malays, none of Chinese Museum. It was only after South could no longer access the Silk Route by land that they looked for trade routes by sea. That was in the 11th or 12th century. Before that, no, there weren't Chinese who sailed. Aren't you afraid of 8 to 9 meter waves? He said that to me. I said that in Indonesia I've never seen waves of 9 meters. I want to see it. And he immediately shook hands with me. That's it, sir. That's it.
Kalau Filipinisi itu sepertinya muncul pada abad ke-19, sekitar tahun 1830-an, 1840-an.
Here around the 19th century in around 1830 to 40, and it refers to a type of sail that actually comes from Europe, which imitates the international term schooner catch or cap catch, which means a sail that is installed in the direction of the bow of the boat. It means that these sails were first used in the western regions of the archipelago, such as Riau, Blitung, etc. Until the end of the 19th century, this type of sail was increasingly used towards the east. So the sail also arrived in Sulawesi, and here the sail was changed, which we know now as the Filipino sail.
Jenis layar itu makin banyak digunakan, makin ke arah timur. Sehingga akhirnya ide layarnya itu juga tiba di Sulawesi. Dan di sini pun layarnya diubah sedemikian rupa sehingga menjadi yang kita sekarang mengenali sebagai layar penisi.
Indonesian people are challenged to become more resilient in facing life at sea. One of the communities that is able to run a shipping system and build ships is the Bulukumba community. However, the term Finisi became known in the 1950s.
Istilah Finisi itu secara umum baru muncul dalam cetakan, koran, dan sebagainya.
The term Finisi generally only appeared in printing like newspapers and so on in the early 50s of the 20th century. In 1960, the administration of the first Indonesian president, Sukarno, held a competition for boats to carry copra from Sulawesi to Jakarta. And in the newspaper, the question still arose about what Finisi boat is, because the term Finisi was not yet known to people at that time. Because in the fact, in the reports of harbor master and so on, boats like that were still called palari. There was palari Lompong, there was palari Tongpong. The term Finisi started in the early 80s, especially after the Finisi was brought to Vancouver. And there, the boats which were previously called palari were then called Finisi. So the term Finisi, which now we really take pride in, is actually a creation after the Finisi no longer existed.
Terutama setelah ada Finisi Nusantara yang dibawa ke Vancouver, dan di situ, di Singapura misalnya, perahu-perahu yang sebelumnya dinamakan Palari itu mulai dinamakan Finisi. Jadi, istilah Finisi yang sekarang ini begitu dibanggakan, sebenarnya suatu ciptaan setelah yang namanya Finisi itu sudah tidak ada lagi. Ini ingatan masyarakat tidak terlalu tepat. Ada cerita bahwa perahu yang seperti itu yang pertama kali dibangun di
people's memory are not very accurate, and there are stories that the first such boat in Ara was in 1900, but no one remembers who built it, for whom, and so on. And until World War II, in the Dutch newspaper and the harbor master reports and so on, all projects like they were recorded as Palari. So the use of the word Finisi is something new, something that hasn't been around for too long, but with the motor and Indonesian sailing boats, all of that disappeared in the 70s. This is a memory that people are quite proud of when Finisi Nusantara was brought to Vancouver, and more travel companies from abroad ordered boats like that. The Thames Peninsula was brought back as a proud memory of boat builders and sailors from the archipelago. The use of the word Peninsula to generalize all types of boats is actually a deflation of Indonesia's boat manufacturing wealth, because in Indonesia there are hundreds of types of boats and they all have their own names.
Istilah Peninsula itu diangkat kembali sebagai suatu ya ingatan kebanggaan pembuat perahu dan pelayar dari Ponto Bahari itu. Penggunaan kata Peninsula untuk memukul rata semua jenis perahu itu sebenarnya suatu suatu deflasi kekayaan pembuatan perahu Indonesia, karena di Indonesia ada ratusan jenis perahu yang semua punya nama tersendiri.
Peninsula became known worldwide since its first expedition to Vancouver, Canada in 1986, where one of the crew members is still sailing today. At that time, from the start, I remember it was in 85 when my team entered Kalangan. And then I said I wanted to come to Canada. I hadn't applied yet. Finally, after a long time, Mr. Felipe, a Frenchman, who was watching us as a witness to who accepted the people, I said that you're going home, right? And at that time, many of others didn't come. I went first. So then he said, do you want to come to Canada? And I said, yes, sir, if you still need more people. And he said, you're not afraid of waves 8 to 9 meters, he said. The same to me. Then I said, in Indonesia, I've never seen 9 meters wave. I wanted to see it. We immediately shook hands, thought it was a deal. At that time, I was on the machine and also on the sail. There were also 4 people from Tanah Biru also come with me. I asked to this Navy man, how many meters are the waves? Oh, this is only 7 meters. How is the 10 meters one like, I said. Relying on 2 masts and 7 developed sails called Peninsula, the wind has been the main force for Indonesian sailors since the 12th century to sail to their destination.
If
we sail, we just play with the sails according to the wind. Maybe there will be a change in the wind for several hours, like here yesterday. Sailing without wind for 2 hours could take one day because of the wind. Well, if you use an engine, you can calculate the speed and at what time we will arrive. Well, if we just play with the sails, we cannot predict when we will arrive.
Kapal Peninsula di Banan ini asalnya dari arah dulu pun Pak Sulawesi Selatan.
The Peninsula ship was built originally from Arah Bulukumba, Sulawesi. Starting from the year before independence in 1945, after independence, it already existed before. From generation to generation, we have been able to make this ship without any finished drawings. It has been passed down from our ancestors until now. We do it without any technical knowledge. It is just based on experience and it is recognized throughout the world.
Dan di segi pengalaman saja, nah, diakui dan seluruh dunia. Kalau dengan Peninsula 1 tahun lebih. Tapi kali ini kami bikin di pantai dia ke pantai Anjoli.
With the Peninsula, it took more than a year, but this time we make it on the Losari Beach. It is the fastest one because in just 2 months and a half. Has been like this with 2 units, with 25 people working. Yes, iron wood, BT wood, and teak wood. It only needs 3 types of wood in terms of its strength. In the sea, you can make just any kinds of wood. I used to have finishing made from BT wood, but the scarcity of BT wood forced me to use it only for the ship rounds. Now I cannot do it anymore. The deck is made of teak wood.
Sekarang tidak bisa lagi karena sudah berkurang sisa untuk pasir tulang. Depnya ini kayu jati. Alhamdulillah, papan sil papannya disusun, kesep satu, sampai
lebih. The shoots, the planks are arranged one by one. Then they go up here. After the body is finished, then the tusks are installed. Once the tusks are installed, the road is installed, the bottom is then the gutter, then the floor, then the room. The room has all the walls and partitions made. After this, it has been put on the hub. This is lowered, then the mast is made. The mast is then put on the hose rope. The mast rope, then the sail is put on. That's it.
Tali apa? Tali sering. Tali tian. Nampak belakang. Baru pasang layarnya. Begitu.
The system and calculation for making Finnish sailing ships have been known to people of Ara village Bulukumba since 19th century. However, according to a research conducted by German historian Horst Lippner, only 12 Lemo-Lemo people knew the ship-building system. The system is named Tatatalu.
Itu dari rumusnya begini.
That's the formula. So this is how we are ship experts, Wandi Talupi. The important thing is that we know the length, width, and height, that this is 6 meters, the length is 30 meters, the height is 3 meters. They keep installing it, and then it will be right when it hits 6 meters. Indeed, we already have experience in that aspect, without saying that it is balanced. It is already balanced because it is our technique, our experience, so that it is a precise up to 6 meters without any writing about 10 minutes or so. Each one works, each one is an expert.
Ada satu hal dan itu intinya dari warisan dunianya itu. Yaitu
there is one thing that is absence of world heritage, namely what we can call a formula for making it. Many people say that boats are made without drawings and so on, and that is actually not true. There is a formula that is not made into a drawing, but made into various sizes which are recorded above the gorge. There are various bangli that are used with signs that determine the measurements, for example, the location of the pegs in the hull, the length of the planks, the location of the frame, and so on. Those who will still inherit this knowledge today are the descendants of the Lemo-Lemo people. It seems to have a formula called Tatatalu, which can produce boats up to 14 meter long. PLM boats or whatever boats were called Finnish in the 70s were much bigger. So there is an impression that the Ara people at some point in 1930s to 1950s created a new manufacturing formula called Tata Apa, which could produce larger boats.
Jadi ada kesan bahwa orang Ara pada suatu saat tahun 1930-an sampai 50-an menciptakan satu rumus pembuatan yang baru yang dinamakan Tata Apa, yang bisa menghasilkan perahu yang lebih besar. Membangun suatu perahu itu adalah suatu hal yang sangat-sangat rumit. Secara populer, perahu layar itu diakui sebagai
building a boat is very, very complicated things. Popularly, the sailboat is recognized as the most complicated human creation that has existed before the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century. This means that throughout human history, nothing more complicated has been built than a sailboat. If we compare the parts of number of objects in this boat, whatever there is, as far as I know, is 100 tons more than a sailboat. And they all have to function the same as sailboat. If you install one small hard wrongly, the supplement work is the same as if boat is installed incorrectly. One small part of the boat will not fail. And there is another point there. Boat is not something rectangular, but it created through a curve. The curve must be harmonious. If the curve is crooked, the boat will not fail. Maybe someone remembers in high school we are taught how to calculate the curve F from X, which is the most complicated, right? Maybe those who have gone through it have all said, well, this is very difficult, but the boat can only function if the curve is harmonious. The curve can be calculated in that way. So the knowledge to create curves has been going on in the archaeology for 1,000 years, and the way of conceptualizing curves is not much different from shipwrecks from the 10th century to boats built in the mid-20th century. These things are very complicated, so they are not for public consumption because they are too complicated. But in order to deepen them and make them something to be proud of, things like that should be made more public, put forward more to the general public so that they are not reduced to only Finnish.
Dari kapal-kapal karam yang dari abad ke-10 dengan laut perahu yang dibangun pada pertengahan abad ke-20. Hal-hal itu amat-amat rumit. Sehingga bukan menjadi ini baru kesenjian halaya kerana, wah, memang terlalu rumit. Tetapi untuk apa ya? Memperdalamnya dan menjadikannya sesuatu yang bisa dibanggakan. Hal-hal seperti itu semestinya memang lebih diumumkan, lebih di kedepankan kepada halayak ramai, supaya itu tidak direduksi atas ini si doang.
Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id.
Listener, here is highlight of the week. Presenting you what is happening in Indonesia this week with me, Steve. You can listen to this on voanews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and the frequencies of 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Listen, here's the highlight of the week. These are the top stories. The President Prabowo affirms Indonesia and Vietnam agree on comprehensive strategic partnership. President Prabowo urges app-based transportation companies to allow e-bonuses. And here is highlight of the week. Indonesian experts warn of extreme weather and emphasize economic recovery measures. The story by Andy Romdodi.
Economist Gunawan Benjamin from the Islamic University of North Sumatra emphasized that Indonesia is highly vulnerable to disasters and urged the government to take proactive steps to minimize their impact on economic development. Speaking on RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, he highlighted the need for a comprehensive economic recovery plan to protect communities from post-disaster economic threats. Benjamin stressed that effective planning is crucial to ensure resilience and safeguard the economy.
There are so many things that they can do, such as basically they can do something such as to effort minimize the adverse effect of extreme weather that disrupt distribution channel, subdivide society or community access such as traditional or modern markets to budget policies to mitigate the disaster itself. Economic conditions in the country are very vulnerable with changes in extreme weather, patterns that are very disruptive. Even though they occur in the short term, especially in the impact causes economic activity to be paralyzed, we need that economic recovery. So, when we can do the economic recovery after the disaster, we can get more economic for the people, and then we can make the purchasing power of the people return to the normal situation.
In the same dialogue on RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, Head of Weather Prediction and Early Warning of the Indonesian Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, Ida Pramuwardani, stated that some regions in Indonesia are still experiencing the rainy season, with others reaching its peak. She urged the public and stakeholders to stay alert for extreme weather expected in the coming days. Andi Ramdoni reporting.
Government of Indonesia commits to ending open dumping for better waste management. For report by Rama Shidki.
Indonesia has reaffirmed its commitment to end open dumping, a practice that was supposed to be stopped by 2013. Indonesia's Minister of Environment and Head of the Environmental Control Agency, Hani Faisal Rafiq, announced the end of open dumping at 343 waste disposal sites across the country. The goal is to create a more balanced relationship between society, nature and culture. This move is part of Indonesia's ongoing efforts to tackle environmental issues and ensure sustainable waste management.
Menurut kalian bahwa pada hari ini pemerintah melalui Kementerian Lingkungan Hidup
today, the government, through the Ministry of Environment, has decided to stop the practice of open dumping at 343 waste disposal sites. Starting today, the government, through the Ministry of Environment and the Environmental Control Agency, will gradually enforce actions to end open dumping.
Memberikan paksaan pemerintah di dalam rangka pengakhiran praktik open dumping.
Hanif added that the government will gradually halt open dumping at sites with sufficient space and close overfilled disposal sites. She also urged governors, mayors, and regions to monitor the termination of open dumping and take strict actions against violations. As mandated by the 2008 Waste Management Law, also 21% of waste is still disposed openly.
Indonesia and Vietnam strengthen trade, investment, and energy cooperation. Full detail by Desi Anugrano.
Chairman of the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Aninia Novian Bakri, met with General Secretary of the Communist Party of Vietnam, Tho Lam, on Sunday. The visit by the Vietnamese delegation also marked the 70-year anniversary of diplomatic relations between the two countries. During the meeting, Anindya and Tho Lam discussed cooperation in various sectors with a focus on the ground of trade, industry, and investment in agriculture, fisheries, and energy transition.
Indonesia Vietnam mempunyai perdagangan
16 billion dollars, especially in property, while Vietnamese companies are also investing in Indonesia, particularly in electronics, vehicles, and bath and tourism.
The Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry believes the growing partnership between Indonesia and Vietnam can enhance trade values and position both countries as the key economic drivers in Southeast Asia.
The culture minister highlights music's role in national identity. Full story by Ofra Regina.
Minister of Culture Fadlizon emphasized music's vital role in Indonesia's cultural diplomacy.
looking at the National Music Day celebrations and the launch of a final compilation of Indonesia Raya songs on Sunday. He highlighted that traditional Indonesian music forms like angklung, gamelan, and kolintang have earned UNESCO recognition as intangible cultural heritage.
Indonesia's music is vast and diverse, reflecting the cultural and ethnic richness of the archipelago. We also have a thriving Mandarin music scene that has been developing since the 1950s. Some of our music has even earned UNESCO recognitions, including angklung in 2010, gamelan in 2021, the Saman dance in 2011, and most recently kolintang in December 2024.
Fadlizon stressed that the Ministry of Culture will continue promoting music as a core element of Indonesia's cultural identity, fostering growth and global recognition through collaboration with artists and organizations.
Listener, you're still on Highlights of the Week. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto held a bilateral meeting with the General Secretary of Communist Party of Vietnam, Tholem. During the meeting, the President emphasized that Indonesia and Vietnam agreed to enhance the partnership into a comprehensive strategic partnership.